Welcome again. This next chapter, which is the fifth letter to the churches, concerns every one of us, and yet every one of us at a different level of our present consciousness. It is a place where we can measure ourselves against the truth, take inventory, see where we are, where we are succeeding, where we are falling short, why, and what we're going to do about it. This is the letter to Sardis, to the angel of his presence in the church of Sardis. You may find that at this point in your pilgrimage to truth, you are wondering, just how far can I really go? Do I have the capacity? Even though I am told that God is infinite, and God infinitely individualizes as every being, as the one being made visible, do I really have the capacity to do what I'd like to do and what the Bible says I can do? Can I be perfect as my Father? Or have I gone far enough? Is it time now to say, well, let's not kid ourselves. We're really still human. We really still can do just so much. You can't hasten evolution. Or perhaps I've attained enough. I've attained a level where I'm quite satisfied. There can be many things going in your mind, consciously and at lower levels too. So this is a time to look in the mirror and face the facts of being. Now Sardis represents dominion. The feeling I have had is that we are more than halfway home. The question is, do you agree with that appraisal of your consciousness? Or are you being fooled by a certain degree of barrenness around you? That is all that Sardis is about. It is about dominion over this world. And then to see that this world is nothing more than the cosmic mind, nothing more than world thought, Sardis then represents dominion over world thought. And we want to bring it to that level so you will identify that over which you must have dominion, or over you it will have dominion. We are coming to identify our adversary. Agree with thine adversary. Learn who your adversary has been. And up to now you have had only one adversary wearing many disguises. When you remove every disguise, you discover the only adversary you have ever had and will have is the world thought, which presents itself to you disguised as your thought, and then announces where you hurt, where you are lacking, where you are limited, where you are everything but the child of God. And then, because it seems to be your thought, you accept this suggestion as gospel, and you look around desperately trying to find help in the outer to remove from you these thorns, these lacks, these limitations, these endless parade of problems. And now we're to take dominion. We're to enter Sardis. Sardis was a precious stone. And we'll go back in Exodus and we find that Moses was directed to construct the breastplates of the high priest in such a way that the Sardis stone would be the first stone in the first row. So historically, the Bible tells us that the Sardis stone, it's also called the Sardius stone, was the front rank, the highest spiritual designation. He who had dominion wore the Sardius stone in his breastplate, in the first row, as the first stone. And this omnipotence, this dominion over the world, was the dispensation of the Father to the Son. The dispensation of God the Father to Christ the Son. And whoever becomes anointed with the Sardius stone or the Sardis stone has dominion over this world, and he is a high priest of God. Now, being a priest of God is not going to a seminary and getting your degree in theology. Being a priest of God is having dominion over this world, having dominion over the world mind, having dominion over world thought, being able to look out upon the world, to be pressured by the thought of the world at all levels, but to be immune to it because you are hid in Christ, fed by Christ, sustained by the infinite. This is the fifth gift of the Father to the Son. Dominion. Not by virtue of your high capacities or your supreme intelligence, but by virtue of the fact that I in the midst of thee am mighty. Your release from the second self, the personal self, the ego self, the one who can do things, the one who knows more than God, the one who knows more than Christ, the one who still lingers in the belief that through my human reason I can find the way to truth. That one, having departed, we wear the Sardis stone. But unfortunately, there's none of us who can really say, I wear that stone now. That is my consciousness. I am the anointed. I walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth. None of us can say that. Oh, we try. We try desperately. And we all fall short of the Christ. But we're only in the fifth letter. And in this letter, we see that he who is a high priest of God is one who has fulfilled the first four steps. And so we look back and see that we had four letters before this. And if we have been consciously walking with the information that we were given, and if we were then accepting the consequences of that new knowledge, facing those consequences, and living out of this new emphasis, we would by now have transferred our authority from the human sense mind to the infinite mind. And we would be walking in that level of consciousness which is called being taught by God. Now, first we learned that there is a divine, infinite, spiritual universe without opposite. We learn that this divine spiritual universe can never be separated from itself, thus guaranteeing divine individuality. We learn that the divine infinite spiritual universe, in which there is no material substance, is governed by the divine consciousness. And this consciousness too individualizes as individual consciousness, manifesting itself as individual spiritual forms, which can never be divided from the one infinite spirit. We learn that love is the law of this spiritual universe, and there is no power to remove it, to manipulate it, to in any degree lessen it in the universe of God. We learn that God is living. As the living consciousness which embraces all, governing all, maintaining the perfection of all. And that's where we were. We even learned that as we are able to rise above self-love, in that degree, the fullness of the love of the Father would manifest in the various levels of our human span. And now comes the letter to Sardis, saying, from these four steps, you are to be led into omnipotence. And that omnipotence will be your ability to walk through the thought of the world, immune to it, being sustained completely by the Father within you. This is the level of omnipotence that is the fullness of Sardis. And so take a letter, says the Spirit to John, and this dictation comes from Christ Jesus. He who has walked through the seven steps, he who now governs the seven heavens, he who holds the seven stars. We are being told that we are a sevenfold creature. And the seven stars are the unfulfilled faculties of our being, ever latent within us in the seed of Christ. And now it comes to us to accept that he who holds the seven stars, he who governs the seven spirits, he who has attained the full, total realization of sonship with the Father, he it is who is speaking to John, who says, take a letter to the angel of Christ within every man. To that angel of Christ within every man, which is the innate omnipotence of the Christ man. And I who have traveled this distance myself can speak, he said, with authority. Now that's where our letter begins. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. I know what omnipotence is for. I know its purpose. It is functioning in me. And that omnipotence, whose purpose I know, can function in you only when you have found me within you. I, the Christ in you, am the source of your omnipotence. I, the Christ in you, am the way to dominion over the world thought, which enters unawares, like a thief in the night, and dictates to you that which is the lie about reality. Only through the Christ in you do you overcome world thought. And the purpose now is to break up your belief that you can do it through your personal reasoning power. It is not enough to sit there and logically face situations, even with a well-developed human mind, and to think that you will overcome world thought, because you do not know the level to which world thought enters your consciousness, or the intensity, or the relentless, uninterrupted continuity of world thought in your being. Actually, world thought outpictures itself as your human body, as your human experiences, as all of your human relationships. And you cannot control this with a logical thinking mind. It has been tried. And in trying to do so, we build what the Bible calls the Tower of Babel, which ultimately capsizes because it cannot reach the divine consciousness. We do not try with the finite human mind to comprehend the infinite. And so we fall short of Sardis. And it is necessary for the Spirit of Christ to write a letter to awaken us to the fact that as long as you persist in the belief that my human mind can attain the grace of God, you will be moving in a sense of duality, seeking, asking, and knocking, and even saying, well, doesn't the Bible say to seek and ask and knock? And you'll always be seeking and asking and knocking with a human mind, with human logic. And we are being turned now to awaken to the fact that we must seek and ask and knock within and through that mind which transcends the human mind. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. If you use the word but art dead, you would understand it better. Now Sardis then is going to define itself to you as we go along here. It is a transitional state in which we are reaching toward that transcendental consciousness. And somewhere along the line, we're very proud of ourselves, because we have had glimpses of great things. Our lives have shown forth very unusual miracles. We have witnessed that which the world would definitely call an unearthly experience. But unfortunately, we try to live off of these experiences as if that's the end of them. We try to stretch them out to govern our days, forgetting that that was yesterday's manna. We become inspired, but only for the moment. And then we complacently try to make that momentary inspiration the highest level of our being, and we try to talk about it, relive it, not knowing that infinity must keep expressing or we are stagnant. And so we have had these moments. They have lived in us. And yet we are still dead, it is said here. We are dead to that dominion over world thought, resting along the way, still fearful, still undecided, still concerned about tomorrow, still not persuaded that there is only one perfect power governing this perfect spiritual universe. And so, to us who have not attained the fullness of our dominion, we are told that we have a reputation that we are living. We have the reputation for having the transcendental consciousness. But don't believe your press clippings, he says. You don't have it yet. You're still in transition. And recognize that you're in transition. And recognize that in order to go further, you must do something called turning to source. You can't rest on your laurels, on your personal sense of accomplishment. All of that was yesterday. It won't get you anywhere today. You are still dead to the fullness of Christ, is the first verse of the letter to Sardis, to the angel, the Christ within. This is telling the outer human consciousness that you've still got a distance to go, my friend, but it's there for you if you will have an ear. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy word perfect before God. Now then, your human consciousness, which may have been overly prideful to its own detriment, is being told to be watchful. The Master told that to his disciples and as they were waiting in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Master said to his disciples, could you not watch for me 1 hour? They had been sleeping. They were sleeping to the world which was turning from Christ. They had been awake, if you remember, to see the storm, but Christ had been asleep to the storm. Always the disciples were either awake at the wrong time or asleep at the wrong time. They were awake to good and evil, but asleep to Christ. To watch then is the command or the wisdom to know that always the world thought, the cosmic mind, is functioning all around you. It doesn't stop. It is ever weaving its web of hypnosis, pushing forth the dream universe. And to watch is to be awake to the fact that unless you are watching, you are asleep and dreaming. And your dream is this world. This is the one dream we all share. We look out on a world not created by God. To watch is to awake ye that sleepest, and Christ will give thee light. Awaken to the fact that when you are not consciously attuned to the infinite, you are unconsciously attuned to the world mind. And you're outside of the garden. You are walking in the belief and in the experience of the good and of the evil, because you are not tuned to that mind which is the Christ mind. And that tuning, that faithful resting in the Christ mind consciously, is called watching. Be watchful. Acknowledge me. Abide in me. I, the Christ in thee, will give thee light if you awake to me. And this is the watching that ultimately breaks the mist of mortal thought, the lie about God, and opens us to the fullness of Christ, in which dominion is an experience that shows forth the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now we are watching. We are letting ourselves be lifted above the sense mind, which is sleeping, always sleeping in matter, lulled by the appearances, and dreaming that there is evil in the perfect universe of God. To this sense mind, we are now bidding bon voyage, and we are launching out into the deep. I'd like you to take this phrase of Jesus to his disciples, launching out into the deep. If you remember, he came along and he taught them not while standing on the shore, but he taught them from a ship. He taught the multitudes while they were standing on the shore, but he was in a ship. He was away from this world, in other words. He was not anchored in this earth, in this sense mind universe. And he said to his disciples, launch out into the deep. And when they did, they caught many fish. Our launching out into the deep is part of entering that level of consciousness called Sardis. We will do that now in this way. Give yourself a vacation from your human mind for just 5 minutes. Everything your human mind has been reluctant to do, let us do. Let us see that the human mind has anchored us to the belief that we walk on a physical earth. We do not. And so we're going to discard that concept for the moment. I do not walk on a physical earth. I do not live in a physical form. I am not confined to the world concept of time and space. I am free. I am that self which is limitless, that lives only in the infinite universe as the infinite expressing. I am not mortal. I am not physical. I am spirit itself. And at this moment, I am being what I am. I am launching out into the deep, into the infinite. I am accepting identity as infinite being. Not just spirit, but I am accepting that what spirit is, I am, and therefore I am infinite spirit. And now I am resting in my infinite spiritual self as pure consciousness. I have nothing to do with a physical universe. That is your meditation. That is your vacation from the human mind. That is your momentary breaking of the hypnosis and awakening from the sleep. Just to be yourself for a moment or two. And to find from it the strange and glorious quickening of the spirit. For you are multiplying the Father within yourself. As long as you think of a room, persons, place, you have not launched out into the deep. But if you can glimpse the infinity of being without physical walls, without any confining space or time, you are free for that moment of universal mind. You are broken through. You are walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth. And your reward is great and quick. This too is being watchful. I am attuned only to the infinite self. It is I. It is expressing as I. It is everywhere. It is the only being. It is the only power. It is the only law. It is the only activity. It is the only one, and it is I. Sonship is an infinite sonship. And no human mind can govern infinite sonship. The precious stone of oneness is attained as we let the human mind drift by like a cloud and rest in the pure infinity of being, seeking nothing, asking for nothing, knocking on nothing. For all we have ever really sought was truth. All we have ever asked for was truth. All we have ever knocked for was truth. And truth is that I am that infinite self now. The accepting is all the asking and seeking and knocking that was ever necessary. Infinite self can never be divided from itself, can never be separated from itself, can never become less than the one infinite self. And so you have a very dynamic principle that there is never more than one anywhere, no matter what the eye may see. All there can ever be is one. And that one, Christ in the midst of you, is. I and my Father are one. There is no two in the spiritual universe. There are not two trees. There are not two people. There are not two lives. There are not two powers. There are not two laws. There are not two activities. There is one infinite activity, one infinite law, one infinite life, and we are all joint heirs in that one infinite self. We can depend on that one infinite self to be itself without variation. Irrevocably, the one infinite self will always be here, functioning, maintaining its perfection throughout its infinite self. World thought will steal through that mind which is not attuned to this truth and establish many where there is but one. Establish darkness where there is but light. Establish all forms of lacks and limitations where the fullness of the Father alone is being itself. And if we rely on our individual human mind, it will inevitably be tempted and will respond to the belief that evil is, that problems are, that lacks and limitations, and all forms of confusion must be attended to, responded to, acted upon, reacted to. But there is a place in us where we awaken to another level of ourselves where this mind cannot reach, this high ground, where the mortal mind of the world finds there is no place for it. Awaken to Christ I am, Spirit I am, Infinity I am. I know no place where my Father is not. And here I remain in truth, watching, conscious of the infinite perfection of God, in whom there can be no darkness whatsoever. I am not tempted. I am not fooled. I am not lulled back into the sleep of mortality. This is called strengthening, according to this verse. Strengthen that which ye have. Strengthen that which remains. And we're told there's still more of us to die. And this is good news, because that which is to die is the unreality of our being. Dying to the false sense of mortality, dying to the false images of the sense mind, dying to the false concepts, dying to the belief that I can die, dying to materiality, dying to the world that was not created by my Father, awakening to the kingdom on earth. It's like a bean bag. You fill it with beans, you tie a sort of a loose knot in the middle, and now you got two sides. One has the beans and one is empty. If you want the beans on the other side, you have to empty them from this side. You can't fill them on one side unless you empty them on the other. If you want the fruits of the Spirit and want to fill your bean bag on the spiritual side, you must empty it on the material side. And there's nothing you can do about it. If you will not empty it on the material side, you cannot fill it on the spiritual side. You cannot serve both sides. And if you are not prepared or willing or eager to launch out into the deep, into the Spirit, into the infinite being that you are, out of the finite, material, mortal sense of self, which is held there by the reasoning mind, then your little bean bag remains a human lifespan with a finite beginning and a finite ending. But it need not remain there if the angel of his presence in you, the living Christ, becomes your fortress, your accepted self. And you begin accepting that God is living in the midst of you always, without interruption, and can never depart. I can never leave thee. Now, the moment this comes to you as an inner revelation, not a word you read in a book, I, in the midst of you, the Christ, the living Father within, can never leave you. You then have the privilege of taking that word I, which can never leave you, and looking at it long and gloriously and saying, if I, Christ in me, can never leave me, then the qualities of I can never leave me. There is no quality of God that can ever leave me. It is impossible. I have the word of the Father on that. I can never leave you. I am the kingdom of God within you, and I can never leave you. And where I am, my qualities must be. Be still and know that I am God. I in the midst of thee am God, and I can never leave you. I, God, in the midst of you, can never be less than I am. I am peace. I am truth. I am abundance. I am life eternal. I am all that you have ever been seeking. And all that I am can never leave you. How we have been fooled by the mortal mind. There is no quality of God that can ever leave you. Ever, ever, ever again is it possible to hear the words that you are paining, that you are hurting, that you are sick, or that you are worried without remembering. How can you be these things? They are impossible. I can never leave you. I have 5 billion qualities in you that can never leave. And if these qualities cannot leave you, how can the opposite of these qualities be present where you are? Every lie that occurs where you are is impossible because I, truth, can never leave you. You can look at every lie without moving a muscle to defend yourself, because truth is all that is there. The lie is the false belief of the mortal mind. You can look at every form of ugliness and you can say it cannot be here, because God isn't ugly. God is beauty. One of the qualities of God is beauty, and beauty can never leave me. Therefore, how can ugliness be here? This knowledge that I can never leave thee, and I am the fullness of all the qualities of God in you, is the way you awaken from the hypnosis and let Christ within give thee light. There is no problem on the face of the earth that can really exist where you are, because I, the unconditioned, perfect self, can never leave thee. Once this becomes embedded, accepted, and practiced daily, ultimately without ceasing, you will discover that you are in the realm of one power. And that power is I in the midst of thee, the fullness of God. Every divine quality, which never can leave me, never has left me, never will leave me, and everything that denies it is the tempter, trying to make you believe that the Word of God in you is not there. Be ye perfect as your Father is the statement that you can be perfect as your Father every moment, as long as you will accept one authority. The Word of God, and not the word of the five-sense mind, which is a parrot of the world thought. To look at this five-sense mind, which is speaking like a parrot and echoing all world thought in your brain, this is the awakening. And to say to that parrot, it is impossible for God to leave me, because God has said so. and therefore it is impossible for the qualities of God to leave me. All that the Father hath is, present tense, mine. And that is a forever is, an eternal is. And as I live in that acceptance that all that the Father hath is mine, and whatever denies it is the tempter, I am coming into dominion over world thought. I am awakening. I am becoming illumined. And now I am ready to let myself be taught by God. I am shifting authority from my five-sense mind, which is a parrot for the world mind. I am denying myself. I am crucifying the false authority, the tyrant, the liar. And I am investing all authority in the infinite self, which says, I can never leave thee. Every quality I have is thine forever. And whenever the tempter appears before you as a word, a thought, or a deed, or a picture, or a condition, or a situation, or a threat, or a lack, or a limitation, you can look at this adversary and recognize it is not a reality. It is the world mind echoed by your mind into that which is nothing more than a powerless appearance. It is world mind made visible to your human mind. It is not there because I am. My qualities are there. I am health, not pain. I am truth, not lies. I am love, not hate. And I have no opposite. You cannot remove the sun from the sky, no matter what you do. You cannot remove God from your being, no matter what you do. You could sin all day long and all night long, but you cannot remove God from your being. All sin will be in the false sense of self. I can never leave thee or forsake thee, for I am the Father individualized as your invisible, manifested, present self. All you are, I am. And all I am, you are. We are one. And this must become your day and night consciousness. The resting in it is the acknowledging of me in all thy ways. The loving thy neighbor is the acknowledging of me in all thy ways. There's a beautiful line in Paul, in one of his letters to the Thessalonians, to greet everyone with a holy kiss. To recognize instantly the spiritual nature of the person you are addressing as the invisible Christ. That holy kiss is your acceptance that I in the midst of thee am I in the midst of him and her. That I am the infinite I in the midst of all. And there is no other. And right there, where I am, here and there, all of my qualities are, and there are no opposite qualities. There can be no real hate, no real war, no real poverty, no real overpopulation. Because I am all there is, and I am not changing. I am not more people today or less people tomorrow. This is all world belief. Now that is the reason then that we find this fifth letter. It is necessary to clarify to each of us that no matter how far we have gone in consciousness, no matter how high, not to become smug or overly satisfied, or to think that we possess spiritual qualities. Never to be feeling that we are honorable but rather that we are honored. Always to know that I am not the source, nor am I the possessor. I am the living instrument through which Spirit is now expressing itself. We are being taught that humility is not a word or an attitude, but an attribute of the divine. It is a way in consciousness that enables us to set up no barrier, no interference, no finite sense of things which would limit God to our personal levels. We are inheriting reality this way. Now let's go a step further there. I think we can clarify our self-sufficiency in Christ. Now comes the world belief, and it tells you you're going blind. To you, that's the belief of your mind. You quickly identify it through your own thought that I am going blind. You do not identify it as world belief because you're not aware of it as world belief. And so you believe you are going blind. I can never leave thee or forsake thee. Who am I? I am the Christ. My vision is infinite. Infinite vision can never leave thee. But you think you're going blind. Now, who's your authority? The fact that you see less and less, or that a doctor somewhere told you so? Or the Christ which says, I can never leave thee. This is going to determine how you face the situation. If you have risen to that level where you can trust the Christ, trust the words of the Christ, trust the living God within, you will say, I, Christ, child of God, in the midst of the kingdom of God of my being, am vision without end. I don't even have 20/20 vision. I have perfect infinite vision because I is Christ. Now then, the world belief says, I am going blind. Who is saying that? The tempter. The same fellow who said to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, jump off the roof, and they'll catch you, and then they'll prove. That'll prove who you are. The same fellow who said to Christ Jesus, you're so hungry, you better make those stones into bread. And he said, oh no, I am the bread. I don't have to make any. And I'm not hungry anymore. Just for a moment, I let myself fall back into world belief. Now, can I be going blind if I am the living Christ? If I am spirit? Oh, yes, I can be going blind if I think I'm a physical mortal being. But as long as I think that, this fifth letter to the churches is not reaching my inner ear. Dominion over world thought. The belief that I am going blind is not my thought at all. It's a borrowed thought. Who put it there? World thought. It stole into your consciousness and then it externalized as the actual experience of going blind. It almost convinced you. But now, coming to your aid is the fact that just as you cannot take the sun out of the sky, you cannot take infinite vision out of the Christ. And now I must face it. Am I the Christ or not? If I'm going blind, I'm not the Christ. And if I'm the Christ, I'm not going blind. Where do I stand? Which am I? Child of God, the Christ, or mortal being? As you make your decision, you will discover, in that making of the decision, you have discovered the reason it appeared that you were going blind. It was ready for you to make that decision. You had reached that cycle in your consciousness where you were forced to decide your identity. If your identity is not Christ, you've got problems. If your identity is Christ, then you're accepting the Father's word. I, in the midst of thee, can never leave thee. And my name is Christ. If you are Christ, you can now stand, and you must accept that infinite vision can never leave you, and it is present where you are now. Infinite vision. Only the hypnosis of world thought has reduced you to 20/20 vision or less. And so you stand hid in Christ. That which I am can never leave thee, and everything that in any way implies the opposite is the hypnosis of the world. Acknowledge me, not the hypnosis of the world. Acknowledge your infinite vision, for all that I have is thine. And stand ye fast in that truth. Wait upon the Lord. Accept the truth of being in all its fullness, in total confidence, and rest in the womb of silence. And let the Father manifest the truth of his statement in you. I can never leave thee. I am the way. I, in the midst of thee, am infinite vision, and I am the only power. And you will discover the mist of false belief in blindness must subside. For the Son of Truth will rise through the fog over the horizon of false thought, transcending the sense belief, establishing that consciousness which is Sardis, dominion over world thought. Identity, confidence in identity, confidence in the Word of God. That is our way out of Egypt. That is our way into the promised land here and now. Now, every one of us has in some measure proved this point already in many ways. What we need now is a little more intensification of our purposes, a higher degree of synchronization between the outer self and the infinite inner self. The knowledge that it has been done and can be done is given to us by the statement, be perfect. Not be blind, be perfect, which means you can be perfect. Because I can never leave thee or forsake thee.